the Lord may be so pleased to help us, I'd ask you to turn to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, and I'm going to read by way of text, verse 34. That is the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, verse 34. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. It has pleased the Holy Spirit to grant us an historical record of the events, or some of the events, in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. These were real things, they were real people, they were real happenings, and we believe that the parables and miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ were not only an expression of Christ's divine power at the time when he ministered unto these people, but also it is a mark and evidence of the Lord's divine power in all ages of the gospel. Here then is good news. But whilst we consider, and I hope we are able to consider, the condition of this woman and the resultant fact of her coming to Jesus, we may also see behind it, as it were, something far deeper. The spiritual teaching which the Holy Spirit would have us to see. Or may our eyes be opened to behold wondrous things out of God's holy law. Now, the first thing we want to consider is that this woman had a condition, a very debilitating condition, a shameful condition in the day in which she lived. For the law rendered her ceremonially unclean. That would mean, of course, that anything she touched or anything that touched her would also become unclean. And any person going near unto her and being affected by her would also be unclean. So you can imagine the stigma that was upon this woman, how for the most part she was ostracized from society and lived in a very miserable condition. Well, let us look behind and see the spiritual significance of that. Sin is a dreadful plague. It is debilitating and demoralizing. Those who freely enter into its pleasures, and many do, and none of us are aloft from this condition. We too have entered into the pathway of sin. We are by birth and by nature rendered unclean. And there's not one of us can say that we've never had an unclean thought, or never done perhaps an unclean thing. These things are part of our earthbound condition. These are the things that hold us to the earth as being earthly. But how many know of the plague of sin? Oh, how easily it drops off the lips. how quickly people are apt to speak about it and then immediately forget it. Man and woman does not know the plague of their own heart. And their condition is like this woman's condition, that if unhealed, it will bring about our death. Now hers was a natural death. When we think of these words spiritually, ours will be a spiritual death. That is, we will die to all eternity, to an everlasting separation from God, to the miseries of hell forever. And so this condition is not something that we are to trifle with or to cast to one side. Or to say effectively, as so many do, when I get older, I will become more serious about these things. Well, I've found that age has not necessarily made a person more serious. And old people are as presumptuous as young people in trifling with the things of God. And those that enter into a religious pathway, they are like the butterfly that flits from one place to another. And they never establish themselves or never have a foundation upon which they can build. The church's one foundation, says the hymn writer, is Jesus Christ, her Lord. And until and unless we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, then our condition is lamentable indeed. How long will we trifle with sin? How long will we continue in a pathway of rebellion to God? How long will we let this disease, like a cancer, take hold upon us until it destroys us? When will we be awakened to feel our condition? You see, this is one advantage that this woman had upon so many. She knew that she was sick, that she was plagued. Her condition was of necessity a very distressing condition indeed. It would not be prudent for me to go into the condition that she had. But suffer it to say that her whole life was really taken away in misery. She had no comfort. And at this time, when before she came to the Lord Jesus Christ, she had no hope. She was hopeless. But I say again, she knew her condition. She had this advantage, although presumably she would not have seen it as an advantage. But she, like so many, went about seeking help upon nature's ground. She went to so many different physicians, as many as she could find, seeking a cure, but found nothing, for as we are told, her condition rather grew worse. We cannot begin to imagine what she would have suffered at the hands of man. For physicians of that day knew little of bodily functions and needs, and there were many quack doctors in that day who, just for money, thought they could render a cure and gave some elixir which rendered the person without any help whatsoever. So what she suffered, only God and she knows. But I can only imagine that her sufferings must have been truly great indeed. How thankful we should be in this our day and generation for the knowledge and wisdom that God has given unto our physicians to be able to do many things which would have been impossible not so many years ago. You think of the healing that has been done in recent years, that our forefathers, if they had the condition, would have died of it. I'm very mindful of my own state and condition. That 12 years ago, if the medication and the knowledge of the doctors had not been there, I would not be alive today. And also recently, when you think what the physicians undertook for me to do to the body, to repair it, as it were, is truly wonderful. And the minimal pain and suffering that we have in comparison, we should be thankful for. We spoke about our friend in prayer this morning who's been to Germany to have surgery on his back. And as far as we know of, thus far it's been highly successful. These things in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ were completely and utterly unknown. They were impossibilities. So her condition grew worse. And we see society. We see society breaking up. We see men and women getting worse. Or if our parents or perhaps grandparents knew the things that were happening today, they would have been utterly horrified at the awful immorality and vileness that takes place in our society. And so many young people, their lives are ruined by their promiscuity. They sell themselves unto sin. And the devil laughs at their condition, knowing that this condition will utterly destroy them. Friends, are we aware? Are we awakened to a felt sense of need? Do we know ourselves to be how deserving sinners? Do we know that the mercy of God has spared our sin-forfeited lives for this present moment of time? But how much longer will God's patience be lengthened out? How much longer will he withhold his anger from us in rebellion from the word that he has given unto us? How long will we continue to defy God and to please ourselves? Ah, this woman, I say yet again, had a felt sense of her need. And because she respected life, and that is something else today that is in great disrespect, man does not have regard for life. Babies are killed daily in great numbers in the wombs of their mothers. Old people are being put prematurely unto death because they become a nuisance and a burden and a cost to society. There are those that give their lives to kill others, thinking nothing of their own lives as worth anything. This is a society in which we live. This is what our children are growing up into. And how quickly has this nation departed from the truth? How quickly has it fallen into this state and condition which seems to be almost irretrievable? We hope to God that he will blow a wind of increase, that there may be a revival in the churches, that men and women may be brought to their senses to see their how walking condition, to see that the end of a wicked life indeed is ours. Do we know that? Do we fear God? Are we seeking after life? Because here it is plainly evident that this woman was seeking which, what, and every way to preserve her life. Her life was precious unto herself. Is our life precious unto ourselves? Do we value the life that God has given us? Do we want to live forever? Or would we rather die a premature death and be cast into the pit with the devils? Because although society will not acknowledge it, there are two ends for men: either eternal life or eternal death. Now, which pathway are we on? You see, for the most part, as the Lord so graphically puts it, the wicked are in that broad road that leads unto destruction. And many there be, he says, that walk therein. While it is the remnant of few that find that path which the vulture's eye hath not seen, and the young lion has not trod, that narrow pathway that leads us unto our God, that we may be found in that right way. And so this woman does all that she can to try and preserve her life, suffering terribly, we can only assume, at the hands of these so-called physicians who made her condition worse. And so she comes to a spot and to a place where she realizes that she has spent all that she has. She has no more money for physicians. Her condition is growing worse and worse. She can only resolve that she must die. What a solemn state and condition to be found in. I remember with Pastor Macronola of Portsmouth some years ago now, how the doctor came and told him very bluntly that you are going to die, that you have a very short time to live, and left the room and left him to himself with no seeming compassion or comfort to be granted unto him. Well, sadly, his prediction came true. But before then, the Lord appeared for him and gave him a wonderful end, an end that any man would envy and seek after. So the woman is in a state and condition where she is helpless and hopeless. But then, what a mercy if there's a but then in our lives. But then she hears of Jesus. Now, we're not told how she came to hear of Jesus. We're not told if she had seen some of the miracles that he had performed or some of the parables that he had spoken. We're not told how long she had known of Jesus. But one thing we do know, she came to hear of him. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Do we have a living faith whereby we may come to Jesus? How very simple this account is in reality. She hears, she comes, she believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Three simple steps to her wonderful conversion. First, she hears. She hears of this man who is able to cure all manner of diseases. And she comes to believe that if free grace, why not for me? If the Lord is able to heal others, then can he not heal myself? She may think of her condition. I've had this condition for 12 years. I have suffered all this distress and misery in my life. Is it possible that the Lord Jesus Christ can meet my condition? How wonderful that we have in the Word of God a variety of cases. Not everyone had to wait 12 years. Some had to wait much, much longer than that. Every case is personal and individual. And so we are not to say, because I have not been in distress for 12 years, then I can't get help. No, it's to hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to believe he is able. He is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. What a wonderful thing that those that are made willing to come to him, and this is the only condition that is put forth, that they shall be saved. And there is no doubt about this. Those who are made willing by God to come to God must and will and shall be saved. Then we have to ask ourselves this afternoon, do we have that willingness to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if we knew something of our state and condition, if we knew something of the misery of sin, we often quote from that hymn that speaks of the awful condition of man. That condition in which he's born, in which he lives, and in which so many die. Ah, how solemn then to understand that we are sinners, and that God could well cut us off immediately in our sins. And remember that some are cut off immediately in their sins. Given, as it were, little time for repentance. Little time to turn unto God. God deals with them very severely. And he will deal severely with all the wicked on the day of judgment. He will order them with divine power to depart, never to see his face again for all eternity. Oh, we think of a loving Christ, and indeed he is toward his people. But the wrath of God is ever upon the wicked. Oh, let us realize it. She heard then of Jesus. she came to believe that he was able to cure her. And in what way was he able to cure her? Well, perhaps she had heard how the Lord Jesus Christ had touched some and they were healed. Or that he spake to some and they were healed. Or as in the case of Jairus' daughter, he took her by the hand and lifted her up, and she came out of the sleep of death to live again. The Lord has many ways of dealing with his people. But she believed if she could but touch part of his clothing, she would be healed. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Of course, in our day, the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. We cannot physically touch the clothes that he wore. But we can touch him by the hand of faith. Faith, we read, is a gift of God. But here, the faith that this woman has is put into useful exercise. If I may but touch his clothes or the hem of his garment, just some little piece, not him, but the clothes that he wears, then she should be saved. But all the difficulties, and doubtless her condition made those difficulties all the greater. Because the Lord Jesus Christ at that time was being followed by his disciples, by Jairus, and by a crowd that thronged around him. She had to press through the crowd. And that was a mountain, as it were, that stood before her. And some of you may feel that there is a mountain before you. How can you come to Jesus? How can you touch, if it be but the hem of his garment? How is it possible? Well, this woman, she pressed. She pressed through the crowd. She made her way, as it was, determined what action she would take. She had a resolve in her heart that nothing would prevent her, nothing would stand in her way, but she would come and she would touch and she would find that healing cure. And so she did. She came to Jesus. Oh, how wonderful. This woman was able, in her condition, to press through that crowd to come to Jesus. And immediately she touches him, she is made whole of her condition. Virtue flowed out of the Lord Jesus Christ and into this woman. And when we come to touch the Lord Jesus Christ by the hand of faith, we will experience exactly the same. The virtue will flow out of him and into us. Now we just sung in our previous hymn, Cowper there speaks of the woman stealing the virtue. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ would not suffer anything to be stolen from him. He was more than willing, because he knew that this woman was coming. By his divinity, he knew the need of this woman, long, long time ago, even 12 years ago, when she became into this distressing condition. So he knew that she was coming. He knew what she was resolved to do. And the Lord knows the secret of all our hearts, what we want to do. And he knows if there is any semblance of faith within our hearts to come and touch but his clothes. Well, let us ask ourselves a question. Do we have a modicum of faith? As the Lord Jesus Christ explains in another part, do we have faith as a grain of a mustard seed? Faith so small. This woman was fearful and trembled at the very thought of coming and touching the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing what it would do. But what she had believed came to gracious effect. The healing came upon her. She was made whole of her condition. As we mentioned before, it is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Or as the hymn writer puts it, not the righteous, sinners Jesus came to save. How vital it is then that we know ourselves to be sinners. For again, as I've said to you before, it's only a sinner that needs a Saviour. The sick need a physician, not those that are whole. If we are living a healthy life, why would we want to go to a physician? Why would we want him to examine us? If we are fit and healthy, we have no need of him. But let us feel sickness come into our body or weakness, infirmity come upon us. It is then that we resort to the physician. It is then that we seek help of others. And it's when a person feels the plague of their own heart, feels a sin which doth so easily beset them, feel themselves to be on the drawstring of the devil. It is then that they cry out in their condition, give me Christ or else I die. Or if you knew that you were dying, if the doctor told you you only had so long to live, how would you live those days? Would you seek the health of your soul? No, only if the Holy Spirit came upon you. Men and women have come into awful conditions and never sought help until it was too late. Too late. Too late is the cry of so many in hell at this present time, too late to find salvation. There is a day coming when we shall be cut off from the face of this earth, and we shall cry too late to enter into the kingdom. Oh God forbid that we should be found in such a state and condition, especially those of us who are under the preaching of the gospel, who hear the good news of salvation, and know that it's not our condition whereby we cannot come to Jesus. Or some of you may look back on your lives. I don't know. I don't know your former lives. You may look back on your lives and see the sins of your youth, those things that you have done, which are truly wicked in the sight of God and of man. The thoughts that have entered into your mind, wicked thoughts, that the devil has put there and you have relished. If you look back over your lives, they have not been perfect, have they? And you have to say, no, far from it. I've lived in sin all my days. I am a sinner great. I'm a how deserving sinner. If God should send me to hell, God is just in so doing. But there is mercy with God that he might be feared. And if free grace, why not for me? It's not our condition whereby we are in a lost state and condition. It's not because we are the worst of sinners or that vile thoughts have pervaded our minds. It's because of unbelief. It's because of the hardness of our hearts. We've heard of Jesus. You've heard by the hearing of the ear. You need to come to this, where the man of God come to, but now I see him. Now I see him. It's one thing to hear about Jesus. It's another thing to come and see him. To see him as the lovely Saviour who's able to deal with your sins, however massive they may be, and however manifold they may be. That is, how big your sins are or how diverse they are. Christ is able to save. This woman, we don't know what her former life was, but we know that for 12 years she suffered greatly and no doubt was embarrassed every time that she met with someone because of her condition. And she felt intensely the place in society in which she stood, separate from others. She couldn't come to the house of God. She couldn't worship with others. No, she was detained apart. And sin is that which parts us from God, separates us from the Most High. Until we see that the Lord Jesus is a compassionate God, that there is mercy with him, that we can come to him just as we are, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. Oh, have we come to Jesus? Have we poured out our case before him? Ah, but then look at this. This woman secreted herself, doubtless in the crowd, a great throng, and she touched the hem of his garment. But what then? Virtue could not come out of the Lord Jesus Christ without him knowing it. And as I said before, he knew all her case and condition. And he said, as he turned round, who touched my clothes? And we see there the disciples, as so often they were, did not understand so much of the power of the one to whom they were attached. He said unto him, thou seest a multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? As if to say, how ridiculous that all these people are pushing against thee, are touching thee several or many at a time. And you single out, who touched me? But the Lord Jesus Christ looked about to see her that had done this thing. He knew who she was. He knew her from all eternity. He knew her case and condition. He knew the hour when her need would be answered. He knew the very spot and place where she would come to. And he knew that she would but touch the hem of his garment by faith, and that faith would be rewarded. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now perhaps we ask ourselves a question, why? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ seemingly embarrass her in this way? Why did he bring her to the forefront before all this crowd, a multitude of people? Why was it he had to display her as it was in front of others? Doubtless, when she had her condition, her shame would hide herself. But now her condition has gone. She has nothing to hide from any. She had been healed of her infirmity. And for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was incumbent for her to be revealed, because doubtless many in that crowd would have known her, would have seen her, and would have walked at a distance from her, would perhaps have despised her condition and wanted to remain untainted from her disease. So the Lord Jesus Christ exposed her to all the people, because a marvelous thing had happened to her, and now, for the first time perhaps in her life, she was happy to relate what had happened to her, how wonderful it was, how the Lord Jesus Christ had dealt with her, that in a moment, the doctors had had 12 years to heal her, but only made her condition worse. In the moment of time, the Lord Jesus Christ healed her completely of her condition. But another thing, if she had stolen away, undetected by any, she may have felt that her condition may return to her. She may have been under doubt. You know, a person who has had cancer is always anxious. Will that cancer return? Will it come back? There's always a certain amount of anxiety. And so if this woman had quickly departed away, she could not be sure that her condition may not have returned to her, and perhaps returned to her in even a more virulent form. So the Lord Jesus Christ revealed her that he might comfort her heart. You see, if we have faith, if we have the faith of God's elect, we cannot hide our light under a bushel. We have to put our candle upon the candlestick. We have to be seen of men. And in this we have to come to confession before the Lord Jesus Christ, to say effectively, I am a sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all and in all. Oh, to confess our sins, to acknowledge our faults. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is just. What, to condemn us because of our sins? No, to completely and utterly clear us of all our sins. Faithful and just to cleanse us. Wash us in His precious blood. Take away every guilty stain. Give us that white clothing which is resplendent. Cleanse us from all our sins. There has to be confession. We have to acknowledge our faults. And remember here that not only did she confess to the Lord Jesus Christ, but she confessed to everyone that could hear her, to a great multitude. Does not the apostle say that we should ever be ready to give an answer for the faith that we trust that we have within us? Yes, we should always be able to give answer if any ask us, do you have faith? We're ready to answer. But the faith that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us, because this is glorifying to His name. It exalts the precious Saviour. Here is a sinner saved by grace. And there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons who need no such repentance. And so she came to repent of her sins, to confess before the Lord Jesus Christ what she had done. And she told Him all the truth, falling down before Him, acknowledging Him to be the Lord. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amazing. Wonderful. Precious. Healing power of God. But her condition was now dealt with. Once and forever. And He said unto her, daughter, or if the Lord should say unto you, son or daughter, go in peace this afternoon, then your heaven is secure. You have all that your heart could ever desire. You don't have necessarily the happiness of this earth, although there will be a happiness in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. But the fulfillment of that happiness in heaven hereafter. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. None of God's people will fear the day of judgment, because it will be the day when the Lord gathers them in to be forever with Himself. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith. He appropriates faith unto herself. Now, as I said before, faith is the gift of God. We have no faith unless God gives us faith. But here, she had plainly exercised the faith that God had given her. And therefore the Lord Jesus Christ calls it her faith. Her faith which God had given her to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy faith had made thee whole. If she had never ventured, she had never been cured. If she had never touched the hem of His garment, the plague would forever remain. And within a short time, she would have died. But she heard She came, she believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How very simple, and yet how very precious. I say again, has the Lord made us willing? We've heard by the hearing of the ear. Not one of you can deny it. You've heard tell of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for sinners. But have you come to him as a sinner? Have you bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledged him to be Lord of all, able to save even such a guilty soul as you feel yourselves to be? And have you believed that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to cleanse you from all your sins, to make you whole, justified before the Father forever? Oh, what a wonderful account this is. Go in peace and be whole from my plague. But no doubt that other things came into this woman's life. Other responsibilities or difficulties or trials or sorrows. But she had a joy now, which only the saints of God possess. She had that inward peace that could not be taken from her. The peace of God which passeth all understanding, to keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. Or then, have we heard with that inner ear? Have we come to the one and only one who is able to deal with our condition? Have we believed that he is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto him by God? Oh, what a venture of faith it is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ just as we are. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen.